Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. This is one of those things. I mean, I am all for the technology that is flourishing nowadays. I'm like anybody else. I have my iPod and my cell phone. I can handle all that stuff. The online stuff is fine. No Luddite whatsoever. And I truly think that it is, on the whole, more a blessing than the bane of society's existence. I think it's good to have this kind of technology at our fingertips. It is obviously easily abused. And the stories of abuse now with some of the youngest among us are truly shocking. Young kids, and we're talking about kids that might have been considered prepubescent, sending one another pictures of themselves partially clad, fully naked. Sexting is what they call it, and now we discover it ends sometimes in suicide. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about the sad story of sexting suicide. She's fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
It's harmless teenage fun. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that dad would want his young daughter doing or mom would want her son doing. But in the end, it's one of those things that teenagers do, a stupid thing that teenagers do, that they grow out of and there's no more consequence. Sexting.
Well, it is stupid, I'll give you that. But I do think it is pretty harmful, actually. Sexting, which is, as we know, the practice of snapping usually nude or at least sexually explicit photos of oneself and then sending them via cell phone to someone else. It is not harmless for a number of reasons. Practically speaking, of course, one of the main reasons is that these photos rarely just stay with the person to whom they were sent, especially in teenage circles. And that's where we've been getting these tragic suicides of girls in both cases who sent out nude photos to a boyfriend only to see him forward them to the whole school and then become the targets of brutal bullying and harassment. Of course, down the road, these are still a problem. I mean, anyone who gets one of these images can then post them online, and then every time a potential employer or college admissions officer Googles this student, the nude photo can come up. So that's another consequence. But more importantly, I think this really can destroy the innocence of a young person. And you could argue, of course, that, well, they're not that innocent to be doing this in the first place. Well, in a certain sense, but they are teenagers, and they don't think hard about consequences. But this can be a really devastating thing. It's basically it leads to a public shaming in many cases of especially the girls who do this. And I think, obviously, they're not old enough to be thinking through the consequences of this, but we need to do that for them. And I think that's where adults have sort of fallen down on the job in this case of sexting.
I want to get to how we can in any way prevent this in just a moment. But first, tell us some of these stories. These are tragic stories about sexting and what eventually leads to suicide.
Yes, well, the first one was just about a year ago, 18-year-old Jessica Logan. She's a senior in high school in Cincinnati. She had been dating a boy for about a month or two, decided to sext him. And we find that in the recent Associated Press MTV study of this, nearly a third of 14 to 24-year-olds are doing this, and many of those who are doing this are finding that their photos are forwarded. So this was very common. He got the photo. Sure enough, you know, like all high school romances, it breaks up shortly afterward, and he forwards it to four other girls who then proceed to circulate it at several area high schools, including Jessica's. She was harassed at school, called filthy names in the hallway, thrown out of several parties. Even after graduation, she was getting explicit text messages from strangers. She even went on a local television newscast anonymously, hid her voice and appearance, and warned other teenagers of the dangers of this. But this continued to follow her. She basically kind of got a reputation and couldn't escape it, and became despondent, and her mother found her hanging from her bed in her bedroom. She had hung herself with her cell phone in the middle of the floor just a few months after this had started. So that was tragic. Unfortunately, the interview she did in Cincinnati didn't reach Hope Witzel in Florida, who was a 13-year-old girl who did something similar. She had a crush on a boy in her class. She was an eighth grader. She snapped a topless photo of herself and sent it over to him, and it was intercepted by another student who then circulated it throughout her middle school. It started circulating around a nearby high school. Pretty soon, her girlfriends had to walk through the halls with her to shield her because of the kind of taunts and attacks she would get from other students. She was just bombarded with bullying online as well as in person, and she basically just completely despaired. She was a very young girl, obviously, at 13, and you don't have a lot of capability of dealing with that kind of intense humiliation at that age. Went on for a few months. This was June that she sent the photo. By September, she was cutting herself and journaling about the tons of people who hate me, she wrote. And finally, unfortunately, just like Jessica, Hope's mother walked in on her and found her hanging from the canopy of her bed. She had hung herself in shame and humiliation. So sexting is not so harmless. And anyone who says this kind of exploitation, even when it's done at the hands of the young girls themselves, is somehow harmless, which we do hear that. I think we need to think about Hope and Jessica's stories before we say that.
What can be done? I mean, obviously neither of us are lawmakers, but where would you begin if a lawmaker said to you, look, Colleen, we know this is a problem. We want to prevent this kind of stuff. What can we do?
Well, there are laws on the books, of course, that count this as child pornography. Now, one state, Vermont, predictably so, I think you could say, is actually trying to pass a law to legalize this for teens so that they don't get caught up in child pornography charges. That may seem like a harsh sentence, but actually I don't think softening the law to make this more permissible is the right way to be moving. In fact, I think students should know there are legal ramifications to forwarding nude pictures of themselves or their classmates or posting them online. But I think the solution is deeper than a change in the laws, because there's a lot you can't regulate with the law. And I think we need to look at the pornographic culture in America. I mean, we've got a $13 billion a year pornography industry that somebody's parents must be patronizing. So I think that's why we see so much reluctance on the part of adults to unilaterally condemn this kind of behavior. I mean, MTV recently started a campaign of awareness about sexting. It's called A Thin Line. It's good that they're raising awareness. Unfortunately, they explicitly say on their website that they're not making any kind of value judgment about whether sexting is a good idea, simply that you should, you know, think about the consequences. So we hear this kind of safe sex type argument applied now to sexting, that is, sexed with caution, basically, because I think so many parents are afraid of judging what their children are doing, afraid of stepping in and making moral arguments about anything that has to do with sex. And because so much of America, I think, is caught up in this exhibitionist, porn-saturated pop culture that we have, that it's very difficult then to separate out what is appropriate and what's not. I think we should be able to, at least on something like sexting, all come together and say this is not just wrong because it could hurt your college admissions prospects. It's wrong because it destroys your innocence at an age when no teenager should be doing this sort of thing. And, of course, from a Christian perspective, sending out nude photos of yourself is never acceptable. But it's especially not when you're a little 13-year-old girl with a crush on a boy getting a lot of intense pressure to do this. And that's the final point, too, that we need to think about, is that 61% of those who've done this told the AP pollsters that they did so because they've been pressured to do so. So we need to think about that kind of pressure. Where's that coming from, and how can adults intercept it and convince especially young girls that this isn't the way to get attention?
Colleen, you're a new mother with only a minute here. The technology isn't going away. It's here to stay. When your children are old enough to hear what you need to say about this, what do you plan to say? 1 minute.
Well, I would certainly hope that the values I'll be teaching them along the way will be something that will ground them in a way, because I can't be there all the time holding their hand telling them what to do. Obviously, this kind of thing I would hope they would know right off the bat is out of bounds. But I think more importantly, we need to think about really strictly limiting the amount of technology our children have access to. And thinking especially about the internet, I think there's this idea that kids have to have unlimited access to the internet or somehow they'll fall behind. I know a lot of smart people who grew up without the internet and took right to it when they needed to for work or for school. But this is not where our kids need to be spending most of their time. The same goes for TV, the radio, all of it. I think we need to spend more one-on-one time with our kids as much as possible and encourage them to spend face time with friends and a little less time online, which I think is full of dangers. And that doesn't mean no time online, but I think it has to be pretty strictly regulated.
Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can check out her columns tonight. Just go to our website, click Listen, and go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Look for Colleen Carol Campbell's columns. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. We'll kick off tomorrow's program, also responding to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line, by the way, is open 24/7 for your questions, comments, criticism, praise, whatever you want to leave there in 3 minutes. You can do it, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. It's the Issues Etc. comment line. It's always open for you, and we try to respond every Friday to comments left there on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. There's so much danger out there for our kids, and parents are, if nothing else, there to protect their children. Now there's a new place to protect them, and we hope that parents will not fall down on that important task. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.